ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So I apologize in advance if I'm a little incoherent this morning. My mom is coming to visit, so I had to have the heater replaced. It's been out for a while. And Hari Venu left at about 12:30, and we was finished with installation. So I didn't get to bed until about 2 o'clock, and then I came from Mangalartik, so I'm a little bit not all together here. Anyway, we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 9, Chapter 19. And today's text should be 16, right? Yes. Ya duṣyaja durmatipir jiryato ya na jiryate tam trishnam dukkanivaham sharma kamo Dhrutam Tyajet Yadishyaja Dhurmatipir Jiryato Yana Jiryate Tang Trishnang Dukkanivaham Sharmakamo Dhrutam Tyajet Yadishyaja Dhurmatipir Jiryato yana jiryate Tang trishnam dukha nivaham Sharma kamo durtang yityajat Yadustyaja dhurmatibhir Jiryato yana jiryate Tang trishnam dukha nivaham Sharma kamo durtang tyajat. Please chant. Yadustyaja dhurmatibhir Jiryato yana jiryate Vishwadukha nivaham Sharma kamo durtang tyajat. Jiryato yana jiryate Tang trishnang dukkanivaham Sharma kamo jutang tyajet Yadushyaya dhurmatibhir Jiryato yana jiryate Tang trishnam dukkanivaham Sharma kamo dursam jajan. Okay, Vaishnavins. Yadushyaja dhurmatibhir Jiryato yana jiryate Tam trishnam dukha nivaham Sharma kamo dhurtang jajan. Yadustyaja dhurmatibhir Jiryato yana jiryate Tang trishnam dukha nivaham Sharma kamo dhutang chajet Yadustyaja dhurmatibhir Jiryato yana jiryate Tang trishnang dukha nivaham Sharma kamo durtang tyajet Yadushyaja dhurmatibhir Jiryato yana jiryate Tang trishnang dukha nivaham Sharmakamo Drutang Tejen. Okay, synonyms, ya. That which. Tushteja. Extremely difficult to give up. Turmatibihi. By persons too attached to material enjoyment. Chiryataha. Even by one who is an invalid because of old age. Ya, that which, na, not, jiryate, is vanquished, tam, such, trishnam, desire, dukkha nivaham, which is the cause of all tribulations. Sharmakamaha, a person desiring his own happiness. Drutam, very soon. Tyajit, should give up. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. For those who are too attached to material enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires which are the cause of all tribulations. Please repeat. For those who are too attached to material enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires, which are the cause of all tribulations. Glad, I'm glad you're reading it. You must imbibe this. May Krishna bless you. Okay. Srila Prabhupada's purport. We have actually seen, especially in the Western countries, that men who have reached more than 80 years of age still go to nightclubs and pay heavy fees to drink wine and associate with women. Although such men are too old to enjoy anything, their desires have not ceased. Time deteriorates even the body itself, which is a medium for all sensual satisfaction. But even when a man becomes old and invalid, his desires are strong enough to dictate that he go here and there to satisfy the desires of his senses. Therefore, by the practice of bhakti yoga, one should give up his lusty desires. As explained by Sri Yamuna Acharya, Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padaravinde navanava rasadam nyudatam rantumasit tadavadi patanari sangamani smaryamani bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishtivanam cha. When one is Krishna conscious, he gets more and more happiness by discharging duties for Krishna. Such a person spits on sense gratification, especially that of sexual enjoyment. An experienced, advanced devotee is no longer interested in sex life. The strong desire for sex can be subdued only by advancement in Krishna consciousness. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pashtatadeshtarne Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shafitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Guru Unvaishamangscha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sayatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Vatangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the problem and the solution are given in this verse, translation, especially Prabhupada's purport, where he's stating that the problem is that if one holds on to unsatisfied material desires, which is inevitable, because desires are constantly new desires, or desires to go back to old desires, it's always in the heart, always cropping up, more and more, new crop and new crop. For inanimate objects, what to speak of animate objects, isn't it? You're driving a nice five-year-old, you know, Toyota, running well, but you drive down the street and boom, this Mercedes goes by and that BMW goes in and you develop a desire to have it because you're thinking that person's enjoying more than I am. Even though, as I said in the last class, or was the Sunday piece, I think, what I gave that, when you're on the 405 in rush hour, you're not going any faster than anybody else. Doesn't matter what you're driving. You're stuck just like anybody else. Well, we have this illusion that if I drive a more expensive car, a faster car, I'll enjoy more. Generally, it results in more tickets. That's what it results in. Because when you have that car that can go 200 miles an hour, you're not going to be happy going 75, 80 like everybody else. You want to push that baby to the limit. So you think, all right, it's probably not so bad in Nevada or Arizona. They're not so vigilant. But guess what? And this happened to a devotee who came here once for Rath Yatra, drove all the way across from Florida, and in Arizona was nailing it. He was doing 140 miles an hour. And a ticket showed up in the mail, even though he didn't get stopped, because they have aerial surveillance. They can pick out your license plate from the sky, and they send you a ticket in the mail. So I don't see you going over 65 bar, so I don't think it's a problem. But it was Arizona. But the point is that the material energy is always trying to entice us to enjoy inanimate objects, what to speak of animate objects, which is the main focus in this verse. So the remedy is to hear from childhood. Komara mache pragyo dharmam bhagavatamiha dulabam manasa janma tadapya dhruvam arthadam. That from Komara, from the age of five, especially in the Vedic culture, the boys were educated in school formally and the girls were educated at home. But the same message was there. You're not this body, you're eternal servant of God. Develop this tendency to serve God and it will serve you well. That was the message. They were learning their, how to read and write and everything like that, but the main focus was on the spiritual education, which Prabhupada instituted in his International Society for Krishna Consciousness and emphasized that we should have our own schools for the children that Krishna sends because they're not ordinary souls. But gradually over time, because of this problem, that problem, gurukuls closed one after another, and actually some parents started saying, that is good. The children should go to public school. They'll get a better education and they'll be better able to deal with life. And anyways, one Matazina especially, she launched a campaign that she hated this term, slaughterhouse education. How dare the devotees call the outside education slaughterhouse? It's actually better than the devotee. Da, da, da. And sure enough, literally by Krishna's arrangement, I guess, just after she started that campaign is when the school killing started to go up, Columbine. Literally, Krishna was showing her, it is a slaughterhouse education. Not just figuratively, but literally. Figuratively we know, because they get educated not just in, you know, reading, writing, and science subjects, which are all, many of them speculative anyway. But the main thing they learn when they go to high school and college is how to associate with the opposite sex in the wrong way. That's the main thing they learn. Prabhupada stated that many times. This is why it's a slaughterhouse education. There's no department that teaches the difference between a dead body and a live body. In other words, about the soul, real spirituality, that is absent from practically every so-called higher institution of knowledge around the world. They are simply enamored by technology. When Prabhupada came and spoke at Berkeley, I think it was 69, he's pointed that out. He said some of the Indian students were saying, well, Swamiji, you know, we don't, you know, what is this? We're here to learn technology. And Prabhupada says, yes, that makes you a beggar. You've come here to America to beg. I am not a beggar. I've come to give. I've come to give real knowledge, real education. Not this begging mentality that teach me some technology so I can go and make money. And after accumulating the money, they're still not happy. They're still not happy. It's not that becoming a millionaire or a billionaire is a guarantor of happiness. It's not. Certainly, there's no guarantee that you're going to live any longer than anybody else. Otherwise, every millionaire since time immemorial would still be alive. So it's not going to save you from dying, and it doesn't guarantee happiness. Although most of us, I think, would say, give me a chance to experience it. Give me the million and I'll see if I can squeeze out a little more happiness than anybody else. But Ambarish Das, Alfred Ford, he put it together nicely. He said that when people hear the statement, the poor people think, it's not true. Give me the money and I'll prove that it's not true. And those who already have the money know that it is true, that money doesn't buy you happiness. So the point is that we have to be educated from early on in life. Komaram Archayat Pragyo. In what? Dharma Bhagavatamiha. This Bhagavat Dharma. To know who I am, to know who is God, to know at least the Vedic presentation of the cosmos, real cosmology, real origins, not the fake one that they teach in school. Just speculating and changing their speculation from year after year, practically. That's not real cosmology. Certainly, they have no idea of the real origins. And so, those who have children, it is your prime responsibility to inculcate, to give them this knowledge. This is what will save them. Better to have complete spiritual education and be not so advanced from the material side of things. Oh, your children who graduate from your gurukul are not so good in calculus. So what? Then the opposite, where you have a complete material education, you're the best at calculus and higher mathematics of all kinds and physics and on, but you don't know anything about who you really are. Then you're a madman or woman. Mad person. Someone who doesn't know who they are is a crazy person. They don't know who they are. That's one of the prime tests of sanity. You approach somebody and say, who are you? I have no idea. Or they tell you they're somebody that they're not. I'm Jesus Christ. Don't you see the holes in my hand? You know, another sign of sanity. Insanity of taking somebody else's identity. So we have to teach these children Bhagavad Dharma. And then they will be able to withstand, even if they fall down, just like in the sixth canto we passed already, the Jami and Upakhyana. He was trained as a brahmachari, fell down for the rest of his life practically, but because of that training, he named his son Narayan. And just by calling out to his son Narayan at the end of his life, he was saved. So that much opportunity will be given to anyone who starts the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga. That opportunity will be given. Guaranteed, Krishna says that whatever you perform in devotional service will not be lost. Don't worry about it. And Narad Muni also says that it's better to take the devotional service and fall away than to be a perfect dharmi in any other kind of dharma, where you become a perfect materialist in whatever field you choose, because that will not save you. So here, Maharaj Yayati is pointing out from his own experience that it's just a waste of time to chase after sense gratification. It's a waste of time. So what to do? What to do? How do we recognize that we're making progress? This was asked by Arjuna back in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. How do you recognize that somebody's making spiritual progress? And Krishna explains, Prajahati yada kama sarvan partham manogatam atmanev atmatushta sita pragyata dochate. that when a man or a woman gives up the desire for sense gratification, which arises from mental concoction only. It's important to understand that we paint a rosy mental picture. We're all trained like that. Nowadays, it's practically a business. They tell you, just create your future that you want and concentrate on it, and it will happen. I guarantee you, it will happen. Just give me $20 from this book that I've written to convince you that it will happen. Just concentrate on that rosy future that you want. Whatever you want. You want to be president of the United States. You want to be a big CEO. You want to move to Hawaii and enjoy for the rest of it. Whatever it is you want. Just paint that picture and concentrate on it. And to a certain degree, they're right. Whatever desires you develop, Krishna will fulfill, but not necessarily on your time schedule. See, you may check out of here having never gone to Hawaii. But what about Hawaii? Okay, next life. You take birth as a fish swimming around Hawaii or a tree standing on Hawaii for hundreds of years, if that's you're so focused on Hawaii. So that desire will be fulfilled, but not necessarily in the way that you wanted it and not necessarily on your schedule. Everything starts with desire. And therefore, bhakti yoga means being trained how to desire properly. Thinking leads to feeling, leads to willing, leads to action. So if you think properly, and this is what disciple means, discipline. There's no, proper stated many times, there's no meaning to disciple if there is no discipline. So those of you who are not yet initiated, take that to heart. You've chosen that spiritual master. You've approached him or her and submitted your plea to be initiated. But that means you're begging to be disciplined. If you don't like to be disciplined, then don't become a disciple, because there's no meaning to it. Prabhupada said it. Having a guru is not like keeping a dog. Nice guru, come here guru, you know, like that. It's not like that. It means you're surrendering to Krishna through the spiritual master and with the help of the spiritual master. And you have to actually want to be disciplined, not to be shocked when you're disciplined about something. That's not real disciple. The real disciple is looking forward, actually. So many stories are there of devotees who are shocked by Prabhupada, but later on they realize that he had done them such a great favor. You know, they wanted to do some harebrained scheme, and Prabhupada stopped them, or whatever mistake they were making, and Prabhupada stopped them. Sometimes it was something simple, like Navayogendra Maharaj told a story that he was with Prabhupada. They were chanting japa. They were traveling through India somewhere. So he had his chatra on the floor. He was sitting on the floor, and he was chanting, but his bead bag was touching the chatra. So Prabhupada said, "Why do you have your bead bag on the floor?" He said, "But Prabhupada, I don't. It's on my chatra." He said, "But your chatra is on the floor." So Prabhupada would give sometimes just even simple chastisement. What to speak of when something heavy happened, how he would chastise. But that is the business. And he would sometimes say that, you know, "Don't forgive me, but it's my position as your spiritual master to discipline you." That's what being a guru means. Because if you can't deliver your disciple from the material entanglement, from this never-ending desire for sense gratification, then you shouldn't become a guru. Namoche yak samapeta mrtyum. That verse we passed not so long ago. Pita nasasyat, janani sasyat, guru nasasyat, swajano nasasyat. Daiving nasasyat, what is that last one? Daiving nasasyat, napatis nasasyat, namoche yak. Yes, I know the last line, but that third line I wasn't getting completely. Namoche yak samapeta mrtyum. If you can't deliver the charge, the son or the dependent, whoever it is, if you can't deliver them from material entanglement, then don't become a father, mother, relative, demigod, or any kind of leader. And what to speak of guru? Don't become a guru if you can't deliver your disciples. There's that story of the guru who's walking along with his disciples, and they see a huge python in his death throes. And they get closer, and they see that he's surrounded by thousands and thousands of bugs just sucking the juice out of him as he's dying. And the guru starts to laugh. And the disciples are bewildered because they figure, my guru is such an elevated person, charitable person, and he sees everyone equally. And why is he laughing at the plight of this python? So one of the disciples was bold enough to ask, "But Guru Maharaj, why are you laughing at this situation?" And the Guru said, "You see that python? In his previous lifetime, he was a seminal guru, Shukracharya. In other words, guru name only. And he was simply sucking money out of his disciples and followers. So in this life, he has become a python, and those followers are those bugs that are sucking the juice out of him." So one should not become a leader of any kind. And this extends to being, again, a parent. Because we're saying that the solution for this never-ending cycle of creating material desires and then having to take birth again to try to fulfill them, that can be cut short by proper education that leads to the culminates in the highest form of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga means Bhagavan, Bhakta, and the exchange between them is called Bhakti. So in the beginning, Bhakti starts out with taking some duties, some service, and executing it under the guidance of a spiritual master. Who can chastise you, who can correct you to start doing it better. And giving one's life and soul to executing that, whatever it is, proper to say, whatever duty you're given in Krishna consciousness, you see that, you should see it like Krishna has given me this to do, and I should do it to the best of my ability for Krishna's satisfaction. And how do I know when Krishna is satisfied? When the guru is satisfied. When guru is satisfied, then Krishna is satisfied. So this is the beginning of bhakti. And as one goes on and develops in bhakti, Prabhupada says in one purport in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that the service gives one transcendental pleasure. One starts to derive transcendental pleasure from the service. But in the highest stage, one derives pleasure directly from Krishna, from being in love with Krishna. Even though it may seem that the service is not done properly, just like the case of Vidura. He was in such ecstasy that Krishna came to his house that he and his wife were feeding Krishna banana peels and throwing away the bananas. But Krishna was eating them because it was offered with love. So their ecstasy was coming directly from serving Krishna. The service wasn't done nicely. But on the lower stages, we derive satisfaction from doing the service nicely, from cleaning nicely, from serving the deities nicely, dressing them nicely, cooking nicely for the deities. This is where we derive our pleasure in the middle stages. In the beginning, practically, just do whatever you're told. But as we go along, then we start doing it without being told. And that was also discussed earlier in the last chapter, I believe, or earlier in this chapter, was it? About the, no, previous chapter. About the good son is the one who serves the father without having to be asked. Second class son is the one who does what he's asked to do, and the third class son is one who doesn't do it at all, even though he's asked. So same thing with disciple and guru and Krishna. In the beginning, we have to be told at every moment, get up, go to Mangala Arati, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But then in the middle stage, we spontaneously do things, and then in the highest level, we're completely attached to Krishna. Krishna's pleasure, and sometimes to the detriment of the service itself. Again, we may make mistakes on that highest stage, apparently making mistakes, or not even treating Krishna nicely, like Sanatana Goswami. He had his Madan Mohan Diri, he was traveling with him, and every day he would make a very, very simple Raj Boga offering. He would make buttis, which is just, you take some wheat with water, you roll it into a ball, put it on the fire, and then you offer it. So one day, Madan Mohan Diri said to Sanatan, "Sanatan, can you at least give me a little salt?" And Sanatan Goswami said, "Just be happy with what I give you. Today it's salt, tomorrow you'll want something else." So this is the highest stage. It may not even seem that the service is being done nicely. Don't try this in our kitchen. Don't go there and make dry wheat balls and try to offer it to Rukmini Dwarkadish. Temple service means opulent. But on the high stage, like Siddhartha Goswami, he's talking to his deity. The deity's talking to him. And Rukmini Dwarkadish will also talk to you. Prabhupada said that right here. He said, they're just waiting to have a conversation with you. What's preventing that? It's our lack of faith, our lack of advancement in Krishna consciousness. But the day will come when you say, Jai Rukmini Dwarkadish, and they'll say, Jai Amalakta Bhakta Maharaj. Maybe they're already saying it to him, I don't know. Because we're not always privy to what goes on between the deity and another devotee. We may not hear. Sometimes we may not even see. In his Navadvipa Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells that story that when Bhimasen, the Pandavas, they had to go out and conquer all directions before they could have the Rajasuya sacrifice. So Bhimasen was going through Bengal, and there was a king there named Samudrasen. But he was also a devotee. But somewhere or other, he didn't feel inclined to just surrender to Bhimasen. So they were going to have a fight. And the Samudrasen was no pushover, even though Bhimasen was one of, if not the strongest person on earth at that point. Had the strength of 10,000 elephants. But so they got it on. They were actually fighting. And Krishna saw that Bhimasen was about to maybe lose, and that wouldn't be good because they had to conquer all directions so they could have the Rajasuya sacrifice so Yudhisthira could be enthroned. So what to do? Bhimasen is a devotee. Samudrasen is a devotee. What to do? So Krishna appeared in front of Samudrasen, unseen by Bhimasen. And when Samudrasen saw Krishna, he immediately stopped fighting and got down from his chariot, bowed down. And Bhimasen didn't see Krishna, so he was thinking, oh, he surrendered. So this happens. Sometimes Krishna may appear to one devotee, but not to another. He may speak to another devotee, but not the others. We don't know. We can't say. But the day will come, if it has not yet come for us, we should have that faith, because Prabhupada said it. If you continue serving nicely, following this process perfectly or as best to the best of your ability, Krishna will speak to you. We know Krishna can speak. He's not dumb. We're not Mayavadis. God has no... He can't speak, he can't walk, he can't eat, he can't anything. I can eat, but I think that God can't eat. How foolish. So we're not that foolish. That's why we offer everything to Krishna. And Krishna enjoys, and after Krishna enjoys, then we enjoy. So to get over this hurdle, which all of us face in the material world, material life, even on the level of the demigods we see, they're burdened with this strong desire for sex. So the only way to get over it is through education and inculcation of bhakti yoga. The devotees begin to get more and more satisfaction, as Krishna says, machita, magata, prana, bodhi, antaparasparam. From discussing about him, learning the philosophy, discussing, teaching others, taking bhakti shastri, it becomes a source of pleasure, this philosophy. And I remember in the 70s, as brahmachari here in New Dwarka, you had to be on your toes. I mean, there were a lot of big philosophical guns here. Dravida, Gopi Puranadana, so many. And they had the habit of stopping you at any point and say, okay, let's recite a chapter. Pick a chapter, let's just recite it. From memory, you had to be ready. So in the beginning, it's a little bit scary, but when you get into it, and that's the whole point, is get into it. Because if you don't get into Christian philosophy, you can't be empty-headed. It's not possible. So if your head is not full of Christian philosophy, Krishna Katha, then it's going to be full of something else. BMW Katha, or Spider-Man Katha, or Star Wars Katha. Something is going to be in there. So by force in the beginning, you have to drill. And that's why I was so happy that your son was getting into the class, looking at the verse. Because this is how it happens. You have to force him in the beginning to learn this philosophy. I remember in 1995, I was in Moscow, and they had a Gurukul there. And so they were showing me around, and they took me a class. It was children from about 5 to maybe 8. And they had them recite to me from memory, first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samabhiti. They ran through the whole chapter like that. And I was so impressed and happy because this is the cure. If you start them young enough, then they hold on to it. They'll never forget for the whole life. Or even if it seems they forget, Krishna will wake them up. They'll come back to it. It's in there. It's in the heart. You can't take it out, even if it's covered over for some time. So those who have children, please, even if you're sending them to public school for whatever reason, okay. But at home, you have to drill them. You have to drill them. You have to drill them. They can take it. From age 5 on, they can take it. This is what the Shastra says, and we've proven in our society to a certain degree. They can take it. Make them sit down and recite Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book and like that, and they'll remember. Even the songs that are written, some devotees have written the songs of Krishna Leela. Let them hear those things. They pick it up, just like the karmis pick up the pop's music. The children pick up these songs about Krishna. Vrindavan. You've heard that one? Yeah. Mother Karuna could probably recite it for you. It's so catchy. The children, they pick up on it right away. And they just can't get it out of their heads. They walk around all day. Way up north where the Yamuna flows. And, you know, they just... I don't even remember the verse myself. But the kids remember it. It just gets in there. And can't get it out. Just like those of us who grew up with pop music. It's in there. It's hard to get out. You're walking along and then you hear just one word or one note from some old song. And it's like... Anyway, I think you get the point. Education again and attachment to this bhakti yoga process, that is a remedy. And, you know, even if we're not completely perfect at the end, Krishna is very merciful. And he may let us out of this material prison, even if we're not fully qualified to get out. So we'll stop here. Any questions, any comments? $1,000 to go to Vrindavan? Yeah, but you don't even need the plane to go to Vrindavan. Just read Krishna book. Jai. Rantarachim and Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.